Diamondbacks All Access Week with Doug and Wolf on your home for Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Thanks for listening to the two of us. It's Doug and Wolf live in the Auction Community Studios. And normally during D-backs All Access Week, we are broadcasting live from Salt River Fields. And the players are nice enough to walk up, grab a headset, spend some time talking with us. But we didn't want to get guilt-tripped into finding out we gave the team COVID or something. So we decided we should probably stay here.
Especially you walking around with your sniffles.
But it doesn't matter. I drink orange juice so I can't get sick. And you drink enough beer and it kills the virus, so you're okay. So that's my story. Corbin Martin, in order to keep him safe, he's joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He is originally from Houston. So, Corbin, let's start with the basics here. And that's the family. How's your parents or any brothers and sisters? Does your family have water back home? Is everybody all right?
They just got it back. Yeah, I mean, luckily, most of them escaped, not having too much damage. But crazy times back home.
They didn't escape to like Cancun with Senator Cruz or anything, did they?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Corbin, Tommy John surgery in 2019. How are you doing right now? How do you feel?
I feel great. It's just nice to go out and do everyday activities, you know, with the team. Last year was a tough year. Just pretty much being in the training room, watching everyone go out on the field and do everyday stuff. So it's nice to be back in the swing of things and be pretty much 100%.
I'm sure you always loved baseball, but did you love it more as you sat on a training table?
Yeah, of course. It was a tough year and a half, you know. No one wants to get sidelined from an injury. Of course, you want to play every day, but it's part of it. And luckily, the Diamondbacks did a great job with my rehab, and I feel good, and I'm ready to go.
What about other sports? What other sports did you play growing up, Corbin?
I played football pretty much all the way through high school.
Well, you're from Texas, right?
Yeah, I mean, there
it is right there. I mean, you're from Texas, right?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of frowned upon if you don't.
So what positions did you play, Corbin?
I played quarterback and wide receiver pretty much all the way through.
Of course you played quarterback, right? Yes. Part of the quarterback. Were you any good, Corbin?
I was okay. I was a lot faster back then.
You were a dual-threat quarterback?
Tried to be, at least.
Corbin Martin's joining Doug and Wolf. You know, and talking about being from Houston, it was pretty exciting right when the Zach Greinke trade happened. We had Josh Rojas on, and I think you've already gotten used to Phoenix. There's an east side and a west side. He's from the west side, so here he is. He gets traded to his hometown team. How exciting that is for Josh. We haven't talked to you. What is it like to get drafted by your hometown team, make your debut with your hometown team, and then get traded by your hometown team? Were you kind of angry for a little while?
I wouldn't say angry. And honestly, when I got the call, it was a little bit after the trade deadline, so I'm getting texts saying, oh, you didn't get traded, you made it, all this stuff. So hopped on PS4 playing video games, and all of a sudden I get the phone call. Hey, you're flying out to Arizona tomorrow morning at 6, so it was nice having you. Bye. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Corbin.
Love it here. It's great. My wife loves the area. I think Scottsdale is beautiful.
Great.
Yeah, not a bad place to live.
No,
there's no doubt about that.
The weather during spring training is incredible. So.
Oh, yeah. Much better than the Grapefruit League.
So,
yeah.
Corbin, 5 games in the bigs. Tell me about your experience. What did that teach you?
Well, it taught me a lot. You know, I think everyone, of course, gets nervous on their debut, even games afterwards. So I had a lot of adrenaline going the first couple of games, and I think I kind of just lost track of who I was as a baseball player. I try to do too much. I think that's the biggest thing I learned is just be yourself. Go out there, and it's the same game pretty much you've been playing your whole life, except for it's just a very high level, and people are very smart hitting-wise, and you gotta study the game, too. You can't just go out there and throw.
Corbin Martin joining Doug and Wolf, pitcher, Arizona Diamondbacks. Spring training-wise, what's really important for you to work on?
just get back out there and throwing strikes, just being confident in my stuff. I think that's going to be the biggest step for me is facing hitters again and being in games, just to get that confidence back, saying, like, okay, I'm back. I can do this still. You know, it's been – it'll be 2 years in July since surgery, so 2 years pretty much of not playing in games. It's tough. It's been different, but I'm excited to be out there.
And, Corbin, if you can give us a scouting report right now, what do you consider to be your strengths?
I feel like I have a really good feel in the zone. That was the one thing I struggled with when I got called up in 19. I just lost track of the feel, the strike zone, and tried to do too much, tried to be too, I guess, perfect. Everyone knows the umpires have their zone, and they're not going to change it for you. You can get away with it a little bit in the minor leagues, but not up here. And so I think if I'm in the zone, just trusting my stuff, that's when I get pretty comfortable on the mound.
Let's take a little informal poll. Okay. The answer for me is 3.5 years, okay?
Right. Three and a half years.
For you, Wolf, what was the time frame between your wedding to the beautiful Miss Stephanie and the birth of Savannah Shea?
Let's see. That was actually more like 8 years.
8 years, yes. Okay. Corbin, for you, how long is the gap between when you got married and when your first child was born?
9 months.
Did somebody explain? Calm down a little bit here. According to my numbers, you got married in January and your son was born in October. So I was going to give you 9.5 or 10 months. Did you know how this happened? You're supposed to like slow down a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I would say quarantine. definitely got the better
goodness.
Of us, but no, he actually, our son was born a month early, and so I was actually here in Arizona and got the call saying I got to go back out there.
I got to tell you, that is beautiful to me. My oldest was born at 24 weeks, so 4 months early.
Wow.
So we went through crazy times, and you know, now she's doing absolutely fine. She's 21 years old, but how much did your son weigh?
He was 5 pounds, 11 ounces.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which was a blessing. We thought he was going to be a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely a healthy boy now. He's growing. He loves to eat like his dad. So,
are you, if you don't mind me getting personal, as if I already didn't, are you a better pitcher now that you're a father? What have you learned?
I think I grew up, like, as a man, you know, kind of just – take the small things in life a lot easier. He's a blessing. Definitely something I've never experienced before. And I think he just taught me, you know, he gives me an extra edge to go out there and be good just so I can support him and provide for him and my wife. I think that's just an extra edge for me to go out there and pitch good.
That's fantastic.
Amen, man. Corbin, God bless you, man. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Our best to Alyssa, too. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Absolutely. There's Corbin Martin, the newest member of the Arizona – I shouldn't say newest because he came over in the Greinke trade, but hopefully the newest addition to the parent club to be able to bounce back from Tommy John surgery and a major piece of that Zach Greinke trade. Of course, don't forget Zach Beer, though. Seth Beer, I mean.
Seth Beer.
For
yes.
Our beer update. We
got
to start our beer updates.
Zach on your
I did have Zach on the mic. We got to start our beer updates. Let's get to another D-back in order for us to really expound on Diamondbacks All Access Week. One of our favorite guys to talk to, Tim LeCastro, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Diamondbacks All Access Week with Doug and Wolf on your home for Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Still got Bobby Hurley to come, head coach of ASU, in about 30 minutes before ASU takes on UW. We also have Diamondbacks All Access Week going on with all of our shows, Bickley and Murata after us, as well as Burns and Gambo with the latest on the Diamondbacks. And Tim LeCastro has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Tim, I'm sure you miss us terribly. I'm sorry we're not under the tent in the cold with the heaters like we normally are every year. How are you doing?
I know. I'm used to seeing you guys out there. I went outside, and they said, come back inside and go into the little heated room. I said, all right, I'll take it.
So, Timmy, I've got to ask you this right off the top here.
Yep.
What do you do in the off season, man? Because your motor runs so high. What do you actually do in the off season to get ready for a season?
I lift a lot, I run a lot, and I just try to stay on the go nonstop. I mean, this offseason was a little different. There wasn't a lot of access to gyms and stuff, but, I mean, you had to make it work, especially in the Northeast. There was a lot of outdoor running when it was 20 degrees, but, I mean, everybody had to make do in a strange year this year, but we're ready to go this year.
Timmy, believe it or not, Bill Belichick, do you know who he is, Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I know,
right?
Bill. I'm a Giants fan. So.
No, are you really serious?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in New York.
Okay. I probably shouldn't say that on this radio station.
It's okay. The Giants aren't a threat anymore,
okay.
So it's
all
right.
Say,
next
Bill
year
Belichick,
they will be.
When he was younger, Bill Belichick used to he put himself through all these endurance situations, like putting 50 pounds of sand on his shoulders and walking 20 miles down
Belichick
a beach.
Belichick did this?
Belichick did this kind of stuff to test himself, right? I see you as being a guy like that. That's always is a triathlon on the horizon for you.
To be honest with you, I train with my trainer back home. We do some CrossFit stuff. But I like what Belichick does for the aspect of you want to train and make it a lot more difficult than a game and practice. So then when the game comes in, it comes a little easier.
In the quarantine period, are you – like one of those guys in the driveway doing the workouts and everybody honks at you as they go by? Are you secluded in the house?
During the quarantine, I made a little gym in my garage. We had some prison workouts, push-ups, pull-ups, running. We did it all.
To me, what are your goals?
Hey, we did some car pushes. We put the car in neutral. We pushed the car. We did everything.
That's
man,
fantastic.
That is fantastic. What are your goals, Tim?
I mean, I think last year obviously was a disappointment for us not being able to make the playoffs. And from a team aspect, we want to make the playoffs and get back to the playoffs this year. I mean, that's the number one goal. And then once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen.
Okay, I love that. That is great right there. That is well done. That is speaking median right there. A team answer, Tippy. What about you personally, individually? What would you like to accomplish?
I mean, I want to help this team win any way I can. I mean, whether that's starting, coming off the bench, I mean – going back to NL format, I think that I like that, being able to come into the game from the second inning on and pinch run, defense replacement, pinch hit. I mean, I'm in for whatever the team needs me to do and wants me to do, and I just want to win. I mean, last year, like I said, was a disappointment. So being able to win this year, that is the number one goal, no doubt in my mind.
So I've just nominated Tim LaCastro vice president because I'm not resigning, but I am the president of death to the designated hitter rule, and therefore Tim LaCastro is now my nominee for vice president. It's Doug and Wolf talking.
I accept the nomination.
Thank you. We need that. I need all the help we can get.
You support that message.
Yeah, he's on the endorsement train. Tim, this is a question that you probably have never been asked in your life, but it's this point in your career to ask.
Okay.
Are you a veteran?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I mean, I know blood work started at 6:30 in the morning. I came at 7 instead of 6:30. So, I mean, I guess I'm moving towards that way, but I don't think I'm there yet. I mean, we got veteran presence in this clubhouse that, I mean, I hope one day that I can be there. But those guys, they're the leaders of this team, and I look up to them.
Timmy, what's your routine? When you get ready for a game, when it's game day, what do you do? Do you have a routine before a game?
Yeah, I'm pretty superstitious with some of my stuff. I mean, I like to work out before games, whether I'm starting or not starting. If I'm not starting, I'll probably be working out in the cage before I get in there. I just always like to stay loose and stay ready because, I mean, you know how baseball is. You can be in the game at any moment, any second.
All right, Giants fan, you trading Daniel Jones and drafting somebody else?
No. Daniel Jones is the guy.
Wait, you sound more convicted than the entire Giants front office.
Hey, so listen to this. When I was in Reno the year he got drafted, I wanted Josh Allen from the defensive end that went to the Jags, so I was upset. So the Giants took Daniel Jones in that game. Me and Kevin Crone both hit 3 home runs in the game because I was upset about the draft pick.
Okay.
So now he's my guy because he motivated me.
That's fantastic.
So, Timmy, where did you grow up, Tim?
Where did I grow up?
Yes.
I grew up in Auburn, New York, about 30 minutes from Syracuse.
Oh, my goodness. I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. I know. A lot of my friends back home are Bills fans, but I've been a Giants fan my whole life and will continue to be.
Wow, that is incredible right there. Did you play other sports growing up? I imagine you played football, right?
I played football and basketball up until my freshman year of high school and then just baseball from there on.
You must have been a blur. Were you always fast when you were playing football? Were you a blur out on the field?
playing football as like a little slot receiver. And then in college, we played flag football, and I was the quarterback. We sort of ran a Army-style offense because I couldn't throw the ball well, but we ran the triple option pretty well.
How many times has someone actually sat you down to explain to you you're not going to make it?
No one's ever told me that.
Really? No, I was wondering, at your size, I was always afraid that somebody would give you that speech, especially when you were growing up, or the speech of, you know, you can't put all these eggs into the baseball basket. You've got to have this. You got to have that. Where do you draw motivation from?
I think my parents, they always had the goal that they would let me do whatever I wanted, and they always pushed me, and I think that's the number one thing. Like you said, they never told me, hey, you're not going to make it. They always wanted me to have the opportunity to do that, and they put me in great position. I can't thank them enough.
Timmy, where do you think you need to improve? Like, if you had to pick one thing to get better at, where do you think you'd improve?
I'd like to improve my consistency. I think that's one of the number one things in baseball, being able to do it for 162 games. It's not going to be 60 games like last year. And I believe if there's obviously you're going to have bad games throughout a 162-game season, but if you're able to impact a game on a day when you're 0-for-5 and you're able to go out there and make a play defensively and help the team win, I think that's what can separate you and be consistent.
I know you'll never allow it to affect you, but do you feel like this is the first year in your life where you're on the major league roster for a reason and that you're not going anywhere? You're on the 25-man roster, or are you still fighting for a spot?
I think I'm fighting for a spot every single day, no matter what, every single game. I mean, you can't ever get complacent and think that you're here forever, because everything can change in an instant. So I'm always fighting and always want to continue to be like that.
Okay, that thought right there, is that something you've always had, or is that something you had to learn?
I've always had that. I mean, I feel like if you stop working at any point, then you're going to get complacent, and that's something that I never want to do.
Tim LeCastro, Diamondbacks outfielder, joining Doug and Wolf. We made it this long without asking, so A, give us credit, but now here comes the question.
Okay, I'm ready.
That you always know is coming. Do you set a goal of how many times you get dotted?
Ooh, no, but I hope I get dotted about 40 to 50 times, because I like that OBP.
That is fantastic right there. That's that football background right there, Timmy.
That makes you a gamer.
Hey, any way to get on base, right?
That's absolutely exactly right. I mean, if you've heard the line, if we had 25 Tim LeCastros out there.
Timmy, so obviously we've got to have you back on at some point.
Yeah,
in time
here. Absolutely, whenever you guys want me.
If we were going to bring you back on, which we will, Tim, what do you want your walk-up music to be? What is it?
Ooh.
What are you going to listen to? If there's one band you could listen to, whom would that be?
Well, last year I used the song Sunday Best, and my teammates and my cousin back home, he's the one who picked it. They all liked it. So Sunday Best by Surface was my song last year, and I'm leaning towards keeping that, but I'm not 100% yet.
Okay.
Well, not you personally, but the results of 2020, I don't think it matters what the song was.
Yeah,
no,
you just said you're superstitious.
Right?
Therefore, it might be time to change it.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's a long spring training. Things can change.
Okay.
But I'm leaning towards keeping it, but you guys are making me think twice about it now.
Oh, then good. Again, you did hit 290.
I know. You had a year. You had a year, but... Man, it's hard to take anything from 2020 and bring it over to 2021.
Hey, we got to put 2020 in the rearview mirror, and we're moving forward now, and we're ready to go.
Look at you. Hit me with a cliche right in the face.
I'm serious, though. You can just tell in the clubhouse. Hey. Everyone's ready to go. Everyone's excited. I mean, last year was such a weird year, but, I mean, we're ready.
Man, we are
definitely ready to go, and everybody on this team's ready to go.
We need to hear that.
Timmy, you've got a free pass anytime you want to come on. You understand that?
Yeah,
right,
you
now?
Want to talk Giants football, yes. Call in anytime you
want.
Yeah,
right.
I'll teach you the words to hail to the Red Wolves, because I think that's going to be Washington's team name at some point.
No, I mean, they're going to say football team forever, I think.
I love that.
I don't know how good. I think they got to play football in order to be a football team, but that's
I know, right?
That's me being
a
fan.
Hey, they made the playoffs, though. They're all right.
I don't think it counts in the NFC East. I think we all know that.
Oh, come on. NFC East used to be the best.
Oh, yeah, that was around the time you were born.
Yeah, right, 92.
Oh, great to talk to you, Tim. We're going to drive you nuts. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hey, if you guys need me again, just let me know.
Okay, absolutely, brother.
There's Tim LeCastro, future replacement for Ron Wolfley right there,
my
if you couldn't tell.
Timmy, just settle down.
He stared you down, and he's taking
Man,
that job.
He's rolling.
Loco and Doug in the morning, starting next year or in 5 years. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Oh. You can go to CoulterNissan.com for your next new or pre-owned Nissan. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle.
Or, of course, it could be Wolf and Loco.
You need a driver. Oh. Got to have a driver. The one story that you've got to know right now is a question that hasn't been asked in a decade. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Loco Wolf.
Doug and Wolf's The One. The number one story of the day.
That number one story of the day has everything to do with a 37-17 third quarter when the Phoenix Suns, I wouldn't say were in a tight ball game, but didn't anywhere near have a commanding lead by any stretch of the imagination going into the third quarter. And they came out absolutely on fire. And the best way to tell you, Devin Booker, our all-star, was better than Damian Lillard, their all-star. Now, for the season, that's not true. Last night, it was 100% true.
Yeah, you know, listen, Devin Booker, I think, if Devin Booker wanted to go out there and score 35, 36 points a night, he could do that. I don't think anybody'd bat an eyeball at that. If in fact, that was his goal, to go out there and show everybody just how lethal he can be out on the floor rather than trying to win a game and work for the development and the betterment of the team overall, he could do that. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. But that's not who Devin Booker is, and it's not who he wants to be. He wants to be a complete player, top to bottom, offensively and defensively right now. And based on how he's developing, and especially when it comes to the intangibles, man, I'm banking on Book.
But there's no doubt about it. No one can debate that Book's not an all-star. End of story. The impact on winning, the numbers, and you know, we have a few wins, you know, so from my perspective, and you know, I don't think you'll find any coach in the league that would debate that he is an all-star. End of story.
Yeah, the end of story right there. I totally agree with that. I really do. Devin Booker, I want to see Devin Booker get rewarded. Monty Williams said it best. People need to know who Devin Booker is. He said that earlier. I think that was last week he actually said it, and I totally agree with him right there.
It was one of the reasons. It was within the piece for ESPN, the magazine, the cover story, in which they were focused on bringing in Chris Paul. And so they were looking back at that, and that's why Monty Williams said that line about we brought in Chris Paul, and one of the reasons is the world needs to know who Devin Booker is.
One of the great things about it, when you look at last night's game in particular, what was Chris Paul from the Florida
One
base?
Of nine, maybe?
One of, ding, 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 we've got a winner. One of nine from the floor. He scored 2 points in this game, and look how dominant the Suns were in this game. That, to me, that is the best thing that is starting to evolve with the Phoenix Suns right now, Basin Orleans, is the fact that they can run that bench out there, and that bench is playing at an incredibly high level. I absolutely love that. The fact that you can have Devin Booker, Chris Paul, they sat him down the entire fourth quarter.
DeAndre Ayton has to get a lot more consistent before I get excited again like I did in January, in the middle of January. But last night was an interesting game for him in which pretty much stunk in the first half. And I mean compared to who he should be. And then early in the third quarter, Devin Booker had an and one, and DeAndre Ayton ran over to pick him up and celebrate as if he was a cheerleader. And Devin Booker didn't want to celebrate. And Devin Booker's a guy that likes to flex. Okay, Devin Booker's a guy that gets hyped up with the trash talk. He usually wants to be excited in that moment. You talk about a moment of leadership for Devin Booker. instead of the moment of his and one being about him, he jumped up when Ayton came over to celebrate and didn't want to celebrate and got on DeAndre for some type of rotation, and I don't know what it was, but started pointing and gesturing to different spots on the court of what he expected from DeAndre Ayton. And from that point forward, DeAndre Ayton, until he got taken out because it was a blowout, was excellent.
Yeah.
Was absolutely excellent. Yeah. In every aspect you want DeAndre Ayton to play.
That third quarter was incredible. To your point right here, I just want to highlight this once again because Devin Booker said something on Fox Sports Arizona after the game that I have to tell you, I raised my eyebrows because he wasn't asked this question, but he went there by himself. He said, "We've got up big in the last couple games. We got in some little flustered arguments on the bench during these games because we're preparing for something bigger than this." I have to tell you, that caught my attention, like, because arguing is part of what you do if you're a teammate. You are, especially when you're playing a physical, competitive sport like basketball or football or hockey, where you're hitting people and you're banging on each other or you're dragging some guy up and down the floor. It's part of it. The intensity and the rage tree is part of how you compete, and that spills over on the sideline, on the bench. It spills over. And to hear the honesty of Devin Booker right there, there had to be some type of discourse that was going on through last night's game. For him to bring that up by himself without any type of question, and yet there's Devin Booker developing as a leader before our very eyes. In my opinion, this is one of the biggest steps he's taken this year, and you can't even see it. It's the intangible of being a leader.
They now have a 2-game lead on Portland for home court advantage. Obviously, that can vanish with any kind of struggles. But with what you're talking about, imagine the growth of this franchise with Chris Paul and Devin Booker if home court advantage isn't enough. I mean, where you go with a decade without the playoffs, just getting being an 8 seed is a huge accomplishment. And now you have a team that is closer to the 2 seed than they are to being the 5 seed, which is true right now. And that's still not good enough. And not by us in the media, not by fans. Devin Booker is saying, we have a little skirmish going on because we're not raising the bar enough, basically.
And once again, basically, that happens all the time. I can't tell you how many times you'd get into it on the sideline in a football game. Like I said, I've recounted this. I've almost gotten to a fight in our huddle. Our huddle with my teammate in our huddle in a football game. I have gotten fights with my teammates in the locker room, on the sideline.
Auction, Indian Community Studio.
That's right. Exactly right. It's just, listen, it's going to happen when you compete at the highest level our species can generate, especially when you're doing it in a physical, confrontational kind of way. So it's not a big deal to me that it happened. It was a big deal that D-Book offered it up himself.
If you agree that the one weakness of the Suns...
Where's the coffee? Man?
If you agree that the one weakness of the Suns is rebounding, this is kind of interesting. DeMarcus Cousins just got released by the Rockets.
Ooh. No.
Okay. No. We've got a good thing going. You don't really know if you want to interrupt it, but at the same time, having that rebounding off the bench, Sarge looked good coming off the bench rebounding. It's just an interesting little thing to look at.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Bobby Hurley. You got game tonight. Not normal on a Tuesday night. What are you looking for from your guys? And are you actually healthy? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break is presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.
Well, it's now just par for the course. You've already had a season in which The Arizona Coyotes took on the Blues 7 straight times.
Mm.
It was weird when the Sun Devils took on U of A back-to-back, but at least that was home and road. Now, Tuesday night basketball and then Thursday night basketball against the same team in Tempe as ASU takes on UW Tuesday and Thursday. Bobby Hurley joins us for our weekly visit to talk hoops. Bobby, good morning. How are you guys feeling?
Pretty good, guys. It was a long night Saturday, just getting home really late. But then recovery day on Sunday. We had a good practice yesterday, and we're just looking forward for another opportunity tonight to compete.
Bobby, how bad was that UCLA loss, in your opinion, and what can you learn from it?
Well, we have to learn how to, obviously close out games late. I thought we played 38 minutes of great basketball. We just we needed to make one more shot, maybe get one more rebound, and we didn't handle the end of game situations as well as we have recently with our wins versus Oregon State, Cal, and Stanford.
Mm-hmm. In that game, and I say this very carefully because somehow I found out through the grapevine the Pac-12 really likes to listen to the things you say in press conferences and in interviews. So I say this carefully, but how do you talk to a player? I'll just make up a name. Let's call him Jalen, who fouls out of a game and you need him to stay on the floor. You can't foul out, young man, yet you go back and watch the film, opinionated statement. I don't know how many times he really fouled anybody. I don't think he fouled human beings 5 different times in that game. What do you say to a player when you got to have him on the floor, but maybe it wasn't all his fault?
Well, his first foul was a tough call, and certainly a 50-50. And then, his additional next 2 fouls, weren't technically, his fault. Jalen House was trying to save a loose ball out of bounds, and he threw it back towards the opponent's basket where Jalen was, and he was not prepared to defend at that point, not anticipating that, and picked up his second foul. And then to start the second half, they had a cross screen that the guard was supposed to hold there and bump the cut and give Jalen a chance to negotiate that screen, which the guard did it. And, Cody Riley had really good position on Jalen, picked up his third foul quickly. So we have to try and avoid those situations, understanding that the 5 spot is a thin position for us, and we can't afford to get Jalen those fouls that he's going to get some just challenging shots and being, our main, presence in the paint.
Bobby, I know obviously with your career path and the fact that you were such an accomplished player yourself, you can really identify with a question here, but how's the accountability and the leadership inside your locker room right now? Are you happy with how it's developed this season?
Well, I like how we're playing now. I think that, the last 2 games, even though, we didn't win, and winning is important, obviously. It's, that's why we keep track of the, wins and losses. But, it's as good a basketball as we played probably the entire season, and just really looking forward to getting Marcus Bagley back and seeing where, what difference that'll make for our basketball team, because Marcus is, our best rebounder and, really our best athlete and can really shoot the basketball. So I think getting him healthy and getting him back will be a difference maker, but the guys care about winning, man. It was a really tough locker room. The guys went all in the UCLA game, and we're very disappointed with the result, and you could see it. The guys truly, want to turn this thing around.
I'm a big believer in player accountability, Bobby. Players looking at other players in the eye and saying, what are you doing here? Do you feel like you have that in that locker room?
I think the guys right now are enjoying the chemistry that we have currently with our team and, in terms of playing together. Our offense has been clicking. The last several games, our percentages have been very good. We've been able to put points on the board. Guys are enjoying playing together. We just have to do a better job of finishing that game in terms of just not the ability to make a shot. We had a couple of turnovers. We had a bad foul. Remy was a little bit out of position after he lost the ball and committed a foul that we really shouldn't have at that moment. So there are things that we could clean up, and but it's encouraging to know that, you know, those are the two best teams in the Pac-12, and you know, we went down there on their home court and played very well.
Tim and Kyle have the play-by-play tonight. It's at 7 o'clock, ASU-UW. You can hear it right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bobby, you mentioned some of the guys, specifically Marcus. Either I did amazing research or there's a guy named Doug that just helped me. But I got this. Marcus, Josh, Remy, Verge, only 7 games this year together. When is game 8?
Well, that's remains to be seen. I think Marcus is closer to returning, and you know, when I say that, I mean he's gonna go through shoot around today and warm up and see how he feels, and you know, he's not 100% right now certainly, but you know, he's invested and he wants to get back out there with his guys and compete. So he's trying like crazy, you know, to get back out on the court, and Josh is just a little more. You know, sensitive situation. He's still working through some pain with, you know, with the fall that he had, and you know, he's seen some PT, and he's, you know, when he's ready, then he's going to join the group. But you know, I think Marcus is more of a position of need for us right now, just in terms of another guy that's 6'8". You know, that was our leading rebounder, that you know, is our best athlete. So getting him back in the lineup is critical to our late season push here.
Bobby, in terms of the entire program, how is the health of this team in terms of COVID-related activities?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question, Doug?
Yeah, no, it's Wolf. Yeah, no, I was just saying.
Yep, sorry, Wolf.
No, that's okay. In terms of COVID, how is the health of your entire program, not just the players, but you, the coaching staff, everyone involved in the program, how's the health overall?
Well, I mean, you know, just from all our conversations, the ups and downs we've had with it. But, you know, currently, you know, other than Pablo De Zuba, you know, he's going through the protocols, but he's, you know, he's feeling well. And, you know, there aren't any other, you know, cases right now. And so we've hit a point where, you know, we haven't had a stoppage and we're just forging ahead.
What does UW do well?
Well, I mean, they have the zone that is unique, and you don't see it quite often. And, you know, it's maybe not necessarily the zone that it's been in the past with some of the guys they've had, like Thibel and the size and the length. But, you know, it's a short prep, and we had one day to work on it. And, you know, hopefully the guys will feel comfortable playing against that style of defense because they are unique and have a really good point guard. Quade Green is, you know, leads their team in scoring and assists, and is one of the better point guards in the Pac-12.
Bobby, knowing that you're going to play him in 2 more days after this game as well, do you do anything weird or different in the first game? I mean, how does that actually work when you've got games that are almost back to back?
Well, I mean, you go through the first game and then. You know that the prep is not going to be as significant for the second game. You're going to make some adjustments. You're going to watch and learn from some mistakes that you made in the previous game. And then, but overall, you know, you're really familiar with your opponent. You know, haven't just seen them. So yeah, it's really a different scenario. But yeah, in terms of just being able to again. Have the same intensity, understanding your opponent's going to make some adjustments and then see what happens the next game.
Bobby Hurley, head coach, Arizona State, joining Doug and Wolf. At this moment right now, on February 23rd, what makes you feel the best about ASU right now? Where are you most positive that you're doing right?
Well, our offense is functioning a lot better. You know, the last 3 games, really, we put, you know, good points on the board. We, you know, statistically have done some things very positive with our shooting percentages. Our 3-point shooting has improved the last couple of games, which certainly we're going to need tonight. You know, we had 5 turnovers versus UCLA. So you know, anytime you have, you know, those type of numbers, you feel good about your ability to put points on the board. I mean, we did a drill yesterday at practice where, you know, I was there because I was passing and it was Jalen House, it was Lonzo Verge and Remy Martin, just kind of a rapid fire 3-point shooting drill. And, and those guys made 17 in a row at one point between the three of them in practice, which is pretty scary. So I'm happy again with the vibe. I think that we've shown that we could be super competitive, and we've been in a lot of close games, and I'm just happy with what I saw in LA. Even though we didn't get the victories, the guys proved that we could compete with anyone in the conference if we stick with this and keep persevering.
I want to hear the story straight from you, because I had a hard time believing it when I was watching the game. Did you run from the gym to the hotel while you were in Los Angeles?
Well, I mean, it's a long story, but we playing USC, their testing protocols are pretty strict, and they require that the team gets to their campus at 7:15 in the morning, and then we get our COVID testing done there on site, which a lot of the Pac-12 programs will send a representative to the hotel of wherever the team is staying to get the samples. And so we got on the bus and went there, and I finished my test quickly. I did all my paperwork I needed to do, and then I knew it was going to be a little bit of time for everyone to get wrapped up. So I just tied my shoes, I laced them up, and I decided to run back from USC to our hotel. So I almost beat the bus.
How long was that, Bobby?
3/10 of a mile. So I was a little disappointed in myself.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not like USC is in the most beautiful area of all time. I can't imagine some of the people walking. There goes the national champion, Bobby Early, running by. Hey, I'm glad you're safe, Bobby. That's what concerns
me. I grew up in Jersey City. I'm fine. I've seen you all.
Gamer.
That's awesome,
Gamer.
Bob.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you,
best
Bobby.
Of luck tonight.
All right, fellas. Good talking.
There's Bobby Hurley joining Doug and Wolf on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You could get your next new or pre-owned Nissan at coulternissan.com west of the hassle. Ran back from the arena.
That's what Bobby was doing. He's just getting west of it all.
That's true. Could the Cardinals use the transition tag on him? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break was presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.